Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Schadenfreude?
Everybody must have screamed, ah! He's a sung hero.
A little pushy-pushy.
Are you back from listening to Stairway to Heaven twice?
Now those are just words I looked up on the internet.
Unreasonable Doubt, a podcast about West Virginia University basketball, starts now.
All right, what do we call that game? They're in the loser's bracket.
Right.
But it's not like a seventh place game or a third. It's definitely not a third place game because you got to, it's in the semifinal round, but the semifinal, if you win the semifinal, typically you go to the final, and there's West Virginia can't go to the final because, you know, they lost the first game. What? Yeah, I know. I know that Google exists. I can look it up. I'm seeing if you know what it is. All right. ESPN calls it consolation semifinal. Consolation or constellation? I don't know. I bet you can see lots of stars in Portland. That doesn't make any sense. So consolation, we're calling it the consolation, the Phil Knight Legacy Consolation Semifinal. That's what it is. That's what the internet says. Great. And now, okay, so then they'll play, their next game will be the fifth place game. Gotcha. But there's how many teams are in Portland? I guess I could look that up too. All right, here we go. Hello from the studio in Nitro, West Virginia. This is Unreasonable Doubt. It's a podcast about West Virginia University basketball, part of the Basketball Podcast Network. I'm Josh Witt. This is episode 6, Portland State Phil Knight Legacy Consolation Semifinal. That's a lot. West Virginia was a lot tonight. They were way better. Now, Portland State did not have a giant. No, check the court at all times, did not see a 7'4" guy that was good at basketball. So that helps. That helps the cause. It's nice to play the next game. It's good to know that not every game has a 7'4" guy waiting on you. So WVU wins by 18. I told you at the end of the last episode that Portland State likes to foul. Once again, West Virginia said, all right, I thought Portland State was going to get the better of this and foul more. No, no, no. Well, let's just say both teams really fouled a ton. 54 combined fouls. Two Vikings fouled out. West Virginia did a good job of spreading their fouls out. 66 free throws taken. Portland State shot 38 of those 66. So absolutely, especially in the second half, no flow, predicting the possession is going to end in a foul. Like you could just call it, oh, that guy's still dribbling, he's going to get fouled. You know what I mean? But no giants to speak of, so aggressive Emmett, he came out tonight. Awesome to see. Trey Mitchell was solid. As bad as he was on both ends of the floor against Purdue, very solid on both ends of the floor against Portland State. Armsleeve E-Steve, he was solid. We got to stop seeing Eric Stevenson roll around in pain. Just like we started the season with a technical foul each game, now we've started the streak of Eric Stevenson rolling on the floor in obvious distress. I don't like that streak. Let's change that up. Kedrian Johnson, solid. And Seth Wilson, I see what you're doing. Seth Wilson in the second half on possessions that didn't end in a foul. The ball was finding him in step-in three situations, and he was making wide-open threes. Shout out to that guy. So we're six games, can you believe it? Already six games in to the 2022-2023 season. So let's play a little game called Are We Sure? It's very straightforward. I don't have to explain the are we sure game. Let's start. Are we sure this season's team is better at rebounding than last year's team? Listen, you look at the box score tonight. Wagi, Bell, Okonkwo are three big guys combined for 8 total rebounds. 8. Now, West Virginia made a lot of shots, but only 8 rebounds. WVU gave up 13 offensive rebounds tonight. There were no giants established. A 6'4 guy for Portland State had 4 offensive rebounds against a Bob Huggins team that I know Bob Huggins wants to pride himself on rebounding and starting to have a bit of a pattern. I haven't talked about it on the podcast, but after dominating Mount St. Mary's on the boards in the first game, the next 5 games, West Virginia is either broken even, like the rebounding battle was a draw, or they've lost the rebounding battle in every game since. So let's compare this season to last season. It's not the same opponents, totally different scenario, but this is what I have to go by. The first 6 games this season, WVU is +6 overall in total rebounds. I mean, they crushed Mount St. Mary's on the boards, so that helps. The first 6 games last season, WVU was -16, okay? So not apples to apples, but just that sample size, you could say, based on that alone, the WVU is a little bit better at rebounding, but they've got to get better at defensive rebounding. The boxing out, and it's not like Portland State shot a bunch of threes and getting crazy ricochets. It's just a matter of getting a butt on a body. How do I put this? They just got to box out better. And Huggins is talking about it. You know, they're working on it. This team, they haven't got a lot of reps together, lots of new guys, so maybe that can improve. But Huggins knows that they're not good at rebounding right now. And so let's keep an eye on that, because you get into conference play, it's not going to be a bunch of 6'4 guys from Portland State. There are a lot of tall players, and WVU's got tall players. That's the weird part, is that this team with a lot of 6'7 and 6'8 and 6'9 should be, and 6'10, should be better at defensive rebounding. They're doing fine getting offensive rebounds. They're just not boxing out. So let's keep an eye on that as we get closer to the Big 12 schedule. The NBA season is heating up and there are still so many unknowns. Yes, the Lakers are not going to go 0-82. Yes, the Bucks are not going to go 82-0. But will Javon Carter stay in the starting lineup? Will Deuce McBride make it in the rotation for the Knicks? When I'm looking to get in on the action, I bet with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. New customers can bet just $5 pregame money line on any NBA team to win their game and get $150 in free bets if they do. Check this out. Right now, everyone can earn up to a 100% boost with DraftKings stepped up same game parlays. Go to the DraftKings Sportsbook app, place a same game parlay, and combine multiple bets like which team will win, total rebounds, and more. The more legs you add, the bigger the boost, the bigger your shot to win big. The DraftKings Sportsbook app is easy to use. You can do your same game parlay really easy, gives you the odds. Definitely check it out. So download the app now, sign up with code TBPN, place a $5 pregame moneyline bet on any NBA team to win their game, and get $150 in free bets if they do. That's code TBPN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. Another are we sure? Are we sure this team is better at defense than last year's team? This was Portland State. Ken Pomeroy's computer has them in the 200s. And yet there were a handful of possessions where Portland State just went to the rim unguarded, whether it was all 88 feet, is that how long it is, to go all the way down and get a bucket in transition or off a made basket, to a guy just not picking up his dribble and getting to the rim and either getting up a shot or feeling the double team and leaving somebody wide open. We've got, there was one possession where two guys went for the block, did not get it, left the guy wide open to get an easy bucket. And I know what you're saying. And we all know that Huggins is not happy with the defense, and he's talking about it. And early on, it's like, oh, no, they're fine. They're better this year at defense. But Jawash, tonight they forced 24 turnovers. That's good defense, right? How can defense be bad when they force so many turnovers, Josh? That's the character of questioning what I'm saying, guy. And here's what we know. That's turnovers are great, and West Virginia is turning over teams. Even in the loss, they were turning over Purdue. But you get in the Big 12 play, and that dries up a little bit. Like West Virginia, I feel like for the season, are going to be pretty good at the end of the year at turnover percentage on defense. But it's not going to be like this. They're not getting 20-plus turnovers. They just can't rely on that in conference play is what I'm saying. So let's compare. Let's look at some defensive metrics 6 games in this season compared to last season. In the first 6 games last season, WVU gave up over 50% shooting 3 times. So half of the games, they gave up 50% shooting. This season, it's only happened once versus Purdue with a giant. Opponents averaged last season from 2. So inside the 3-point arc, what was the percentage last season after 6 games? 53%. This season after 6 games, 44%. Okay, so they are a little better than last season at defense. But even in a convincing win tonight, you can see where there's still a ways to go. Not so much rotations tonight. It's just guys getting to the basket, not stopping straight line drives. So got to keep an eye on that. And then the last, are we sure? Are we sure this team is a, quote, Bob Huggins team, unquote? Kind of the narrative early on this season is, oh, they got big guys, they got athletes, they're playing better defense. This is a Bob Huggins team. And Eric Stevenson is snarling at people, and that's a Bob Huggins team. And yeah, but on the offensive side, when you see what they're doing in the first 6 games on offense, no, it's not perfect. But statistically, look, they lost Taz Sherman. They lost the second team All-Big 12 guy. They lost Sean McNeil. They lost Malik Curry. They lost Jalen Bridges. Where is the offense going to come from? This team is not struggling on offense 6 games in. Purdue withstanding, WVU has really done well getting easy buckets. Their transition game tonight was super solid, creating points off of turnovers, finding, you know, Eric Stevenson running to the corner to get the three. Alley-oops. It's just, we're in an oasis of alley-oops. And we are not in a desert of missing two-footers. 6 games in. I don't want to jinx anything, but none of these 6 games do you, at the end of the game, feel like, oh, they missed so many bunnies. Like, it's peaked its head every once in a while, but it's just not a trend that I'm seeing 6 games in. And you look at the stats, WVU, with all of those transition points and all those alley-oops and so many dunks, I mean, shout out to Eric Stevenson in the Purdue game with that putback slam. Like, that's just not something we've seen a lot of in the last few years. And so this season, 6 games in, WVU is shooting 60, what is it? They're shooting 59% from 2. And go down the list. That's way better than any point last season for sure. And since Bob Huggins has been at WVU, they've only finished the season twice shooting better than 50% from two. And they started this season 59%. And so the number of dunks, that is not a WVU Bob Huggins team. Maybe a Cincinnati Bob Huggins team. Those teams like to dunk the basketball. But comparing last season to this season, on offense, WVU averaged over 50% from the field in two of their first six games last season. This season, they've done it three times, including tonight. They shot 61%. That's for a Bob Huggins WVU team. And Basketball Reference, they have game logs going back to the 2010-2011 season. And scroll through all those game logs and find a time where WVU has shot over 60% for a game. And you're not going to find it. It just doesn't happen. And this team is made up of a bunch of guys that haven't played together. And they're six games in. Yes, the competition is, according to computers, not great. So that may have something to do with the offense. But even in a game where you're playing a strong defense in Purdue with a giant, it's not like they're shooting 30% from the field. Teams can go on a run against WVU, but it's not because of shooting that, you know, WVU will, they're struggling with turnovers a little bit. But as far as shooting the ball, you're not getting brick by brick by brick. Six games in. So maybe this isn't a, quote, Bob Huggins team, unquote, in regards to this team's not relying on offensive rebounds for offense. They are relying on turnovers a little bit, but the offense is coming from, and they're fine at offensive rebounding, but the offense is coming from guys who are good at getting buckets. And it's not relying on a couple of guys to score. And that is refreshing. But once again, you know, broken record, let's keep an eye on the offense, because you get into the Big 12 and things grind to a halt, right? This defense, this is not a run and gun league. This is a, hey, guard for 30 seconds. Let's, like, this conference, they breathe 30-second shot clock violations. You know what I mean? Like, it's the fuel for this conference. So, and you look at out-of-conference results, Iowa State beat North Carolina today. That one dude that went off on us last season, he went off on North Carolina, scored over 30 points. And North Carolina, who is really good at basketball, they only scored 65. Against an Iowa State team is like their pick bottom half of the conference. Texas held Gonzaga to 74. It's like, hey, West Virginia kills to go over 70 a game. Gonzaga lives in the 90s. They get to 100 without breaking a sweat. And so to hold Gonzaga to 74, you're doing something. So you know this conference is really good at defense. The transition buckets probably slow down a little bit because of how that's tied to turnovers. So let's keep an eye on it. We all agree WVU will come down to earth a little bit on these offensive numbers, but will it be a light feathery pillow landing back down to earth, or will it be like a crash landing with a crater and smoke billowing out? I'm leaning the former, but we've got to see what happens. This episode of Unreasonable Doubt is sponsored by Freeman Sports Cards and Collectibles. What are you doing December 2nd through the 4th? Whatever you thought, don't say it out loud because I can't hear you. But definitely consider showing up at the Morgantown Mall sometime between December 2nd through the 4th, or go every day, the 2nd, the 3rd, and the 4th to Morgantown Mall. Why? Because Freeman Sports Cards and Collectibles are going to be there, and they're going to have sports cards to buy, and they're going to have wrestling figures to buy, action figures to buy, comic books to buy. You can bring your comic books and your sports cards. Maybe you bring it to them and they're like, hey,
I'll buy that from you, and then I'll sell it to somebody else.
Go to the Morgantown Mall. Check out the Freeman's Sports Cards and Collectibles card show, sports card show at the Morgantown Mall. If you want to call them, you got stuff, you want to sell them, give them a call, 304-416-3631. Freeman's Sports Cards and Collectibles. Talked about alley-oops earlier. The major recipient of alley-oops has been Mo Wagi. And shout out to Kedrian Johnson for the beautiful alley-oop deliveries. But Mo Wagi, when he dunks, he definitely likes to hang out up there. Like, literally, he likes to hang out. And there's some acrobatics going on, a little bit of, it's got a gymnastics flavor. I don't think it's for safety. I just think Mo Wagi likes to hang out up there. He likes to do some monkey bar stuff. And I imagine Mo Wagi would be really good based on how he dunks the basketball at going across the monkey bars. Then I start thinking, do they make monkey bars for Mo Wagi? Because he's not a giant. Zach Edey's a giant, but he's a very tall dude. So the monkey bars I remember growing up, first of all, in 2022, have monkey bars survived? Or is it more like, what is it? American Ninja Warrior, where it's like they're farther apart. It's not as easy to do. I don't know. But you'd have to have 10-foot monkey bars, which would be on a on a grade school playground, is very dangerous. It screams lawsuit. So I don't know. It would either be very awesome, like Mo Wagi was loving the monkey bars growing up if they were available where he grew up, or they were absolutely boring because he just stood there and had to duck under the monkey bars. It can either go one of two ways for Mo Wagi at the playground. So the next game for WVU is Sunday, 8:30 p.m. They step up from ESPN News to ESPNU. And the fifth place game, 8:30 Sunday night, WVU will play the Florida Gators. And Florida has had WVU's number for quite a while. I remember one time back, early beeline, that WVU got Florida. But since Huggins has been there, I only remember tragedy with Florida. They've had our number. Now, good news, Florida has a new coach, and so there's no history there with Bob Huggins. With this guy, he previously coached at the University of San Francisco. But the guy he replaced, the last guy that got fired, Mike White, he was really good against Bob Huggins. So then they got what Florida would consider a better coach. So I don't know how that's going to fare, and I don't know how this guy's going to do. But Florida does have not a giant, but a tall, skilled basketball player that has had success against the Mountaineers, Castleton. He dominated in Morgantown, and Florida beat WVU in the Coliseum a couple of seasons ago. This season's Florida team, early on in the season, when you look at the stats, they don't turn the ball over. Very good at holding on to the ball. WVU, as we know, really good at forcing turnovers. So both teams will want to do what they do well on Sunday night. And will it go one way? Will it go the other? Will they meet in the middle? Florida also has a lot of transfer portal guys surrounding Castleton. So this will be a good matchup. This is not a Portland State matchup. We're back. This is not, again, no giant to speak of, but according to Kim Pomeroy's computer, Florida is on our block. They're in our neighborhood. So this will be a good third game, outmatched in the first game, handled your business in the second game, and against a evenly matched opponent, how's it going to go? We'll find out Sunday night. Did you get all the deals on Black Friday? That's it for this episode of Unreasonable Doubt. listen on all of the platforms, or just pick one: Apple Podcast, Spotify, YouTube. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, there's stars on the screen. Hit the farthest right star and then hit OK. And I think that's good for this podcast. Until next time, I'm Josh Witt. This has been Unreasonable Doubt. WVU for the 2022-2023 season, they have 5 wins and they have 1 loss.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.